Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space, here is my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. And we're headed to the Earth-Moon system, thanks to Rick Fisher, Senior Fellow for the International Assessment and Strategy Center, writing most recently a geostrategy about the Chinese space program and its intentions for the Earth-Moon system in these next years. Rick, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much for joining us. Checking on this because there have been recent developments for the Chinese system that look consistent with their ambitions to land on the moon in 2030. We'll speak to their systems in a moment. But first, the report most recently, within days, is of a booster first stage called Long March 10 and a successful static test. What is a static test? What is Long March 10? Good evening to you, Rick.
Good evening, John, and good evening, David. Long March 10 is the next iteration of the China Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation's series of space launch vehicles. This being specifically to headline China's manned moon program. Long March 10 is about a 10-meter diameter SLV. When it goes to the moon, it will be in a tri-core configuration, a total of 21 engines. It will be able to loft about 26, 27 tons of cargo and people to the moon. And when the Chinese initiate their manned moon missions, they will employ 2 Long March 10s, one to transport the moon lander, Lanyue, and another to transport the manned spacecraft, Mengzhou, that will then dock in lunar orbit so that the Lanyue then can take 2 Chinese astronauts to the lunar surface.
David, you have a question for Rick.
Yes, I do. Is all of their program built and manufactured within China? Do they ever contract out for any components for, say, the lander or for the Long March 10? Are they ever contracting to other space companies or manufacturing systems?
David, to my knowledge, they are not, at least within the last decade and a half. However, beginning in the early 1990s, the Chinese were actively seeking Russian space technology, anything they could get their hands on. And they based their Shenzhou space capsule on the Soyuz. According to my Russian sources, they basically stole the technology from the Russians for their current manned space station. It is striking that the Mengzhou at least looks like the new Russian manned space capsule that they've been trying to develop for the last 15 or plus years. There could have been some espionage involved or quiet consulting. However, what is not apparent is that the Chinese actually go out and ask the Russians to build things or ask other countries to build things. That is not clear.
I want to stay with the designation of these boosters. There's Long March 10, which is the one that's just enjoyed a static test said to be successful. What is Long March 9? How do they compare and contrast?
Well, John, Long March 9 is roughly the analog to the SpaceX Starship. They will be about the same size. have the same lofting capability, at least initially, and like Starship, the first stage at least will be reusable, but the second stage of Long March 9 will likely be single use. That will evolve to two-stage reusable, probably within the decade of the 2030s.
Long March 10 is the
smaller SLV.
Where is Long March 9 now in development? Excuse me.
How long has it been in development?
No, where is it? Where is it in stages? We've gone to static test on 10. Are they close to that at 9?
That's not clear. However, there have been numerous Chinese unofficial sources that indicate a full-up test of Long March 9 could occur around 2030 or soon thereafter.
David, you have a question.
One of the things that puzzles me, Rick, is that we always hear that China's economy is in trouble. How do they fund their space program, or do they just prioritize it and don't fund other programs?
Absolutely, David. This is a classic communist command economy. All projects that have to do with the survival of the Chinese Communist Party dictatorship have absolute priority. We will be seeing a parade on September 3rd of many new and interesting and frightening Chinese military systems. That is the priority for the party. The moon, Mars, and beyond are the priority for the party because they want to lock in their achievement of overall hegemony on Earth. They don't want us going to the moon and building the means to basically fight back for our freedom, to put it bluntly. So the moon will always have a priority. Mars will always have a priority for the Chinese Communist Party.
The 10 is for the Chinese space station, low Earth orbit. The 9 is for the moon. All right, let's give them best case scenario. The 9 is working in the 2030s. What do they want to build? What can they build with the 9?
Well, John, they're going to build multiple bases, outposts on the moon. Probably 4 outposts to begin with. And then the 9 will be devoted to the Mars program. Manned Mars expeditions, likely probably before the end of the 2030s, and then a similar program of building satellites around Mars and then building settlements on Mars, as would have already happened on the moon.
David, you have a question.
Do we hear anything about Chinese pursuit of life support technology, you know, for the moon, let alone for Mars? They special spacesuits, how they shield against toxicity of the lunar soil. Do we ever hear what they do for life support?
Well, David, there are a number of Chinese technical universities that are contributing answers to those questions. How to build a shelter, how to build the inside of the shelter, how to build a shelter from radiation, and build an environment, sustain an environment, both on the moon and then Mars, that their people can return to. If you peruse Chinese military technical journals and space journals, you can find plenty of proposals from Chinese engineers about how to turn regolith into a shelter building material, articles that at least suggest they've made substantial progress in this, in terms of actually simulating lunar regolith and using heat to make kind of bricks, if you will.
We have a minute, Rick. The 9 is capable of going to the moon. It's going to put footsteps on the moon. Apollo program footsteps. What's the stage after Footsteps? What do they imagine the moon is going to look like in 20 years? We have about a minute.
Well, John, my suspicion is that the trajectory will be commercial, mining, exploitation, and military. They will go hand in hand. The early, mid, and late projection on the moon will be dual use. And if things go awry on Earth, the Chinese will deploy weapons to the moon and beyond.
Rick Fisher, Senior Fellow, International Assessment and Strategy Center in Geostrategy, about the 10, which just achieved a static test, an excellent static test, according to reports. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.